Welcome to the Code to Catch Up podcast. My name is Jamie Jones, and this episode I'm going to be talking about the Web Starter Kit. Now, this is a developer tool by Google. I highly recommend checking this out because most of the things they put out are pretty awesome. So I'm just going to take some notes here from the developer page. So what is Web Starter Kit? Web Starter Kit is an opinionated boilerplate for web development, tools for building a great experience across many devices and performance orientated, helping you to stay productive following the best practices outlined in Google's Web Fundamentals, something else you should also check out, a solid starting point for both professionals and newcomers to the industry. So what is the inspiration for this? So Web Starter Kit is inspired by mobile HTML5 boilerplate and Yuman's Generate a Gulp web app and have taken input from contributors to both projects during development. So there's a long history here. If you haven't checked out what HTML5 boilerplate is and the mobile HTML5 boilerplate, I do still recommend checking that one out because there's some amazing things that have come out of that. Really recommend checking that out, as well as Google's Web Fundamentals. That is a great read. There's a lot of content there. It's awesome. So what do you get in this boilerplate? So basically what you do is you download the kit, or you can clone the actual repository. It gives you a couple files. So you get an index.html file, and that's kind of like a real basic starting point, but it does include the material design layout and the patterns. And then there's a basic.html, which there's no layout, it's up to you, but it still includes all the mobile best practices for you there. Now, one of the things before I get into the full feature list is the note on performance. So in this little section here, they've got about performance. So Web Starter Kit strives to give you a high performance starting point out of the box. Our medium web page test scores for the default template have a speed index of approximately 1100, so 1000 is ideal, and a repeat visit speed index of approximately 550 thanks to service worker pre-caching. So some awesome stuff there. That performance part is really, really important, and that's probably a whole different topic on itself, so I'm going to leave it out of this actual episode, but I'll probably do a follow-up for that one. So with this, what do you get out of the starter kit? So a responsive boilerplate. So a responsive boilerplate optimized for the multi-screen web powered by Material Design Lite. So it's the light version, important to note there. And basically, you're free to use either that or a completely clean slate because of that basic HTML file. Now, there is SAS support, so you can compile SAS into CSS with ease, bringing support for variables, mix-ins, and more. So this is all running through Gulp. Now, performance optimizations. Minify and concatenate JavaScript, CSS, HTML, and images to help keep your pages lean. Again, another Gulp task. So you can see that there's this reoccurring theme that they're still using Gulp here. It'd be interesting to see if this project would look at moving to Webpack. It'd always be a good, or at least something to check out, I think. Maybe even replacing that yourself. Code linting. So JavaScript code linting is done using ESLint. If you're just getting into linting your code, which you really should be doing, ESLint is probably one of the most, most popular ones. A pluggable linter tool for identifying and reporting on patterns in JavaScript. Web Starter Kit uses ESLint with ESLint config Google, so it's got their own linting, which tries to follow the Google JavaScript style guide. Now there's ES2015. You may hear it previously. It was called ES6. Supported using Babel or Babel. I really don't know how to pronounce that. I've heard a lot of people say it differently. If you do know, let me know. So to enable ES2015 support, remove the line only in the Gulp file Babel.js. And basically ES2015 source code will be automatically transpiled to ES5 for wide browser support. So if you don't know what these ES things are, essentially it's ECMAScript and a particular version. So all your browsers that have been running up to this point and for a long time in the past use ES5. So this allows you to write the new kind of syntax or the new additions to the JavaScript language, and you can have it running in older browsers essentially because it's transpiling back to ES5 for you. It comes with a built-in HTTP server, so basically allow you to preview your site locally while you develop and iterate. There is live browser reloading, so reload the browser in real time anytime an edit is made without the need for any extension. Really important one here because there are some reloaders that do require to have an extension. I don't think it happens too often now, but it's just something to be aware of there. Cross-device synchronization, so synchronize clicks, scrolls, forms, live reload across multiple devices as you edit your project, and this is powered by Browser Sync. Now, if Browser Sync is new to you, I highly recommend checking that one out, putting it down on your notes, because it is super handy, and the things you can do with it is just amazing. So highly recommend checking out that one. That's something that you'll probably use in your toolkit, you know, going forward for I don't know how long until something else replaces it, but it's a very handy one to have. Now, of course, offline support, again, with that performance aspect, thanks to our baked-in service worker pre-caching, sites deploying dist, so it's the distribution folder that it gets generated, to a HTTPS domain will enjoy offline support. And this is made possible by SW Precache, and it's kind of like a plug-in sort of thing for working with service workers. And yeah, important note, HTTPS, so you have to be running that. So if you're putting your application on something like Netlify, you can easily enable HTTPS thanks to Let's Encrypt. So basically, it gives you quite a good starting point and some great best practices here. So if you're used to using some other boilerplate to generate kind of like a static site, definitely check this one out and just see what your thoughts are. Have a play around with. There's a lot of really good points here. And there's a lot of things that can allow you to learn further things like service workers, etc. So that's all I really have. I'd love to know if you've had an experience with Web Starter Kit. What is it like? How have you found it? Or if you're using something else, what are you using instead of this and how have you found that? I'd love to know. If you're listening to this on YouTube, you can leave a comment on the comment section below. If you're listening anywhere else, you can leave a comment at codacatchup.com. You can send through a tweet to @codacatchup. Or you can just send through an email to codacatchup@gmail.com. That's essentially it. Hope you enjoyed this episode. If you do, please leave a like and subscribe on YouTube or leave a rating and review on iTunes. That'd be super awesome. But that's it. We'll catch you in the next one.